We're in Rambam Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, the fifth halacha of the seventh perek chapter. Echad hamisaper b'lashon hara b'fnei chaviro o shelo b'fanav. V'hamisaper dvarim shegormim im nishmeu ish mipi ish lazik lechaviro b'gufo b'mamono v'afilu la'atzer lo o la'afchido arezi lashon hara. If a person says lashon hara, it doesn't matter whether he's saying it about you when you're there or when you're not there. Now, can you think of a case in the Torah that we know of that someone speaks Lashon Hara in front of someone and is punished for Lashon Hara? At least Pshat in the Pasuk. Very good. Last week's Parsha. Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Pshat in the Pasuk there is that she's there. That's what the Mepharshim say. And that's actually one of the quotes from some of the Mepharshim on the Rambam. Pardon? Yeah. Moshe was there and Moshe heard about it. She asks Moshe. She speaks Lashon Hara about his wife to him. And yet she's still punished Lashon Hara, right? So you would think, in other words, the fact that you're saying something that creates negative energy, that denigrates a person, it doesn't matter whether he's there or not. Like sometimes you sit around the table, you say something bad about someone, but he's there. So you feel, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara because he's sitting there. That doesn't make a difference. I wouldn't say it doesn't make a difference. It does make a difference because at least the person can defend himself. But it's still Lashon Hara if it's Lashon Hara. Make sense? Okay, v'amasaper dvarim shegormim. Im nishmeu ish mipi ish lazik l'chaviro b'gufo. If you say something whose cause ultimately could cause damage to someone else, that will be Lashon Hara. Give me an example from a Gemara that we learned this year in Agadata of such a case. Pardon? A case of saying something about someone that can, if heard, can cause damage to that someone.
Maybe that if heard by them?
Pardon?
If heard by them?
Was it the rabbis?
In other words, you're repeating something. Very good. Right. 2 for 2, the Feigenbaum. 2 for 2. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, what's so good about the Romans? They built bridges for collecting taxes. They built, you know, bathhouses for their whores and so on and so forth. Now, that would be the equivalent in our day of someone saying, you're praising the Nazis? Are you kidding me? They're building railroads so they can take Jews to their deaths. You'd have a hard time saying that such a person in 1943 is over in Lashon Hara. But if somebody repeats that he said that, even though there's nothing wrong with the fact that he said it, if it can cause harm to that person, that also is a form of Lashon Hara. That's a radical thought. Because if you repeat something, you have to ask yourself, what are the implications of this? Like, could this cause damage to someone? Right? You know, if I'm speaking about a yeshiva, whether it's our yeshiva or another yeshiva, and what I say, if it reaches particular ears, could damage that yeshiva, that's a form of Lashon Hara. Right? Let's say that there's a particular yeshiva, and two guys do something terrible and they get kicked out. Well, if you repeat that, if you talk about that, right, and parents of that yeshiva hear about it, and as a result they don't send, then you're damaging that yeshiva. So that becomes Lashon Hara, and so on and so forth, right? If you know something...
For those parents, though, by them not having some of their kids...
So that makes it very complicated. So how do you know the difference? Same question.
Your purpose.
That's what the purpose is, right? I was sitting with a couple of parents, and they had a very difficult story from their perspective about a particular yeshiva concerning their son. And they started telling me the story. So before they started telling the story, they came over to me at the end of an Israel night, and they started telling me the story. I said, one second. First of all, don't tell me what yeshiva you're talking about. And don't tell me any of the names. Just tell me the story. At the end of the story, we can decide whether I need to know the names. So they thought that was a little strange. I said, look, if this isn't about your son coming to yeshiva, it may be that I really don't need to know what yeshiva is coming from. Right? Could be. So you have to be very, very careful about Lashon Hara. Now, for me to repeat that story, very challenging. And in certain circles, it could be Lashon Hara, because it could lead to damaging that yeshiva. Do you understand? Make sense? Right? So that's Dvarim Shegormim, things that will cause, right? Im Nishmu Ish Mipi Ish, if they get hurt. So in that story, what happens, right? Rabbi Yehuda, right, the Rosh HaMedabrim, Yehuda ben Gerim, according to Pshat and Rashi, he doesn't actually tell the Romans. He just innocently repeats the story. And somehow, v'nishme'u l'malchut, it gets heard by the malchus. In other words, just because you don't tell it to them, doesn't mean it's not going to get heard. The only way to be sure that lashon hara doesn't get repeated is not to speak it. Make sense? Right? V'yafil latzer lo lafchido. Even if you're telling, even if this won't actually damage him, it'll just stress him. Or it'll frighten him. Right?
Really?
That, yeah, that could also be lashon hara.
You know, Serpino, the story is written by Yochai, right? Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's a question of whether or not he came before or anywhere near the time of Plato. Plato was pretty easy before the Romans, which means it was before Rishon Bar Yochai.
Come again, now I lost you.
I ended up with a question with Carl last night. If it was someone was curious if Rishon Bar Yochai was anywhere near the time of Plato.
When did Plato live?
Plato was, I don't remember when, but he was when the Greeks were big, which means before when
Rome was big. And Plato would have been earlier.
Which means it was before Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
Right.
So, my question would be, did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai speak the Lashon Hara? Did the person who passed what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai?
No, the person who repeated what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, even though what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said wasn't necessarily a negative thing, and even though the person wasn't saying something negative about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the fact that he repeated it, and that because of that, it could cause damage to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, made it lashon hara. That's an unbelievable idea. You understand that? It made what Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gerim said. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't speak lashon hara. Yehuda Ben Gerim was speaking lashon hara. That's an interesting question. Whether he was speaking lashon hara or speaking rechilas. Let's see. Harei zeh lashon hara. He says it's lashon hara. Right, because they're going to hear about it, then they're going to assume bad about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And Bemet, he was forced to flee.
I get the feeling it would be Rechilas, except then you factor in the fact that, repeating this scenario would cause him harm, so therefore it makes him lashon hara.
Well, he's saying something about someone, usually. He's not even saying something about him. He's just saying something that will harm him.
Right. It's interesting that the Rambam says that this is a more severe form, which is lashon hara as opposed to Rechilas. Rechilas in and of itself is innocent. It's just because of what it can lead to. This is not so innocent. You're repeating something that could cause tremendous damage. If I repeat the fact that, let's say we hire a cook, okay? And you know when the cook was in Moshava that she liked to play basketball. And you say, oh, it's funny that cook is here. She used to love to play basketball. Is that Rechilas Las Nara Motsushema? Rechilas. Now let's say, oh, wow, I can't believe that cook is here. You know, when she was in Moshava, people didn't want to eat her cooking because she never used to wash her hands. Lashon hara. But that's not just lashon hara. That lashon hara can cause tremendous damage to that cook. Because if it gets repeated to the wrong places, right, and if it's not true, it's mostly shema, right? But if it gets repeated in the wrong way, she could lose her job. Pardon? Which both? No, if it's not, if it's Motzi Shemra, it's not Lashon Hara. Motzi Shemra means it's not true, Lashon Hara is when it is true.
But you're still saying something negative.
That's the whole point of why we have.
But that's Lashon Hara.
You have a separate term, so that
it can't be true and
not true. It's Motzi Shemra if you're...
Motzi Shemra is when you say something...
But if you're saying something not true, and it's no matter how negative it is, it's not Lashon Hara.
It's
if it's not true, it's Lashon Hara, that's Motzi Shemra.
It's classified as
Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is a form of Lashon Hara.
Okay, what if you make up something positive?
Pardon?
What if you make up something positive?
Well,
you don't know if the person thinks Motzi
Shemra. Tell me an example from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, or from the Medrash rather, of someone who does that. And it's clearly allowed.
Even in that case, an individual doesn't know, you don't know if that individual thinks it's positive for him.
Give me an example of a medrash that seems to imply that it's okay to do that.
Sure.
Give me an example.
Well, we just learned that you're not supposed to say positive things in front of someone's enemy.
Right. So obviously the enemy isn't there. So give me an example. In fact, this is such a difficult question that no people don't think of. It'll prove our point about the purpose being the mitigating factor. Come on. Somebody's saying something positive, right, about someone to his enemy, and it's considered good. It's alluded to in Pirkei Avos. It's really Medrash.
It might somehow help the enemy.
I don't know. I'm looking for the name of a great Jewish leader. Close.
Aaron.
Aaron.
Oh, so Rosh Shemesh.
There you go. Aaron goes. Levi.
I get the words all.
Levi and Zevi are fighting, and Aaron goes to Levi and says, right, about Levi's enemy, right. In other words, so he's saying something about Zevi to his enemy because they're fighting, right? And he says he really wants to make up with you, which is something nice. So he's saying something nice about him to his enemy. And it's mutter. Why is it mutter? You say you're not supposed to say something nice in front of somebody's enemy. Because the purpose is to get them to make up. Right. So you see what a difference the purpose makes. By the way, you have to realize.
Should we not make up more stories about me and be fighting?
Yeah. We're all fallible here. And therefore, you can mess up on this. Like, just because you think the purpose is a good purpose, you could be wrong. But at least the process of thinking about that, it'll leave you in a better space. The chances that you'll be doing good will be better. But you have to be very careful because the Yetzer Hara has a lot of fun with this. It's very easy to convince yourself that this is for a good purpose and then do horrendous things. Right? As we saw 60 years ago to an extreme. Right? So, now we get to an interesting question. So, is it Lashon Hara to say that Robin Williams tells crass jokes? Is that Lashon Hara?
It's in public knowledge.
That's the question. Right? Lashon Hara, the theory about Lashon Hara is that you're spreading something that's not known. But if it's already known and you're not spreading it, so then is it Usher? Is it Rechilus? Pardon? How do you come up with the definitions? That's what the Rambam says here. The Rambam says, "V'im nemru dvarim elu b'fnei shlosha." If these things are said in front of three people, "Kvar nishma hadavar v'noda," then that means that this item is already heard. "V'im siper hadavar echad min shlosha pam acheret ein bo mishum lashon hara." So if I tell something to three guys, we're sitting around, and then he repeats it, one of those three guys repeats it, he's not over on lashon hara. As long as he's not intending to spread it further. Now, that's a very important line that people forget.
Yeah.
In other words, if one of you is sitting at the... If four of you are sitting at the dining table, and Michael says to the three of you guys, right, did you notice that... Did you catch Rav Binny's ridiculous haircut? Okay, right? Ridiculous haircut. So what is that? Is that Rechilos, Lashon Hara, or Motzei Shema?
What is
Motzei Shema? Motzei Shema is where you say something negative about a person that isn't true.
Motzei Shema, yeah.
It's got to be Motzei Shema, because how could I have a ridiculous haircut? Okay, fine. Let's say it's really ridiculous haircut. Let's say it's before Purim. Let's say it's before Purim. There was a boy last year who got a haircut. He had an afro, and he made his hair look like this.
So he's cut off the sides.
Right. He cut off the sides and made his hair look, you know, just till after Purim, then he fortunately leveled the playing field, right? But it was really a ridiculous haircut. Fine, doesn't matter. So now you're sitting there and you say, did you catch, you know, George's ridiculous haircut? Right? So now, is that Rechilus? Is that Lashon Hara? Is it Motzei Shema? Pardon? So it's probably Lashon Hara if it's a negative, a better person. And if you're saying a negative, but it could be, right? Now, suppose you're saying, wow, it's so cool. Did you see his ridiculous haircut? Well, so then I guess you're not intending it negatively. Then it would probably be Rechilus. Okay, but once you four are talking about it, and now Zevi comes over, and he says, what are you guys talking about? So is it usher for Levi to repeat it? Rambam says, no. Unless he's intending to spread the news, right? As opposed to knowing that he's going to be read anyway. Like, there's a story that's floating around the newspapers today. I don't know if you heard this terrible story. There's a flotilla of ships, like 9 or 10 ships, that are trying to break the Israeli blockade on Gaza. Get to the Gaza Strip. Israeli soldiers boarded the ships. I don't have a clear picture yet because the news is coming out of non-Israeli sources. But non-Israeli sources, the New York Times, are claiming that 10 people are killed. That's a pretty, pretty, pretty serious instance. So if I'm telling you that and you haven't heard it, right, you're going to hear about it. I mean, this is in the news. There isn't anybody here who isn't aware of the news. You're not going to hear about it. So at what point does it become Lashon Hara? At what point does it not become Lashon Hara? So if you intend to spread it, right? Now, the question is intending to spread it, is the issue there that since what you're doing is spreading Lashon Hara, then you're guilty of Lashon Hara? Or is the intent to spread it the issue because it speaks to the purpose of why you're speaking? You understand the difference? Right? You got this, like, look like. Okay, you with me here?
Yeah.
Right? Okay? Carl, I'm having a special moment. I have to do this. Should I do this? No, I can't do this. Get a shayna. Anyway, pardon? It's birthday. Birthday. Happy birthday! Baruch Hashem! Happy birthday. Okay. So, you lost your kippah, though. You want to, wouldn't want you to lose it under the folds of the Rambam there, right? Right? So, that's a difficult question. When it's spreading, when it's not spreading. My attitude towards these things is beyond halacha. In other words, like, if you're going to repeat something, is there a good reason to repeat it? You may be wrong, but at least have a good reason. If you can't have a good reason to repeat it, don't repeat it. Right? Vehushal, okay. Now, halacha vav. Okay? Kol elu heim ba'alei lashon hara. All of these, okay? All the above, all the people that we've been speaking about, the rechilos, the lashon hara, the motzi shemra, people who talk about people, people who talk about people in front of people, not in front of people, are interested in spreading bending, all these people, they're balei lashon hara. They're slanderers. She'asur ladur b'shkunatam. You're not allowed to live in their neighborhood. There is in Arizona, in the mountains, one place where a Jew is allowed to live. Other than that, pretty much every Jewish community, you're not allowed to live in. Do you understand this? Right? You're not supposed to move into some next door to someone. If he speaks Lashon Hara, we're in big, big trouble. Big, big trouble. Okay?
There's one place in Arizona.
I don't want to tell you because it'd be Rechilas. But you understand,
exactly.
Right?
And they say, like, we're the only place where a Jew can come because there's no...
No, they obviously don't say that.
In
theory, as soon as one person moved there, there'd probably be some sort of Rechilas involved. Because they think, I just moved here because everywhere else they speak that, and then you... Therefore, then there's no way.
You're
not allowed to have any neighbors. This is just the rule.
The Rambam says, Asur Ladur, you can't live in their neighborhood. You shouldn't live. Look, this is a very serious issue, like all kidding aside. You hang out with people who do negative things, you're going to end up doing negative things. I would venture to say most of us have had this experience at one time or another.
So today doesn't mean like they live in their neighborhood.
No, that's exactly what it means. That's exactly what it means. Look, you know, I'll give you an example. If you live in Efrat, you're going to connect to your next-door neighbor. Unless there's some serious character flaw, there's just no way that I never talk to my next-door neighbors. We live in Efrat. It's just, that's the way it is. But when I lived in New York City, who talks to their neighbors in New York City? You live in a building, there's like 500 or 1,000 people in the building. Most people don't even know the people who live in their building. It's a horrendous thing, but that's another discussion. So, I'm not sure b'shkunatam means that you can't move into any block in New York City because there are always people. Don't be part of a community that speaks Lashon Hara. By the way, I think that that's true, not only in terms of where you live, but it's true in terms of the proximity that you choose for lots of other things. For example, I was in a community. I spent time in a community, and on Shabbos, I had a place. I used to sit. And I realized after a while that there are a few guys there, and that's what they did. They would show up at like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, sort of in the middle of Torah reading, and they would start to schmooze. And you know me, I'm a schmoozer. Nice to connect with people, so I would schmooze with them, and I started realizing that all their schmoozes were Lashon Hara. And there no effort that I made to change the scope of the conversation worked. So finally, I just went and sat in a different seat. So a few times I sat in a different seat here, and I sat in a different seat there. I wanted to realize this. And then actually, I just sat in a different seat. Sat on the other side of the show.
Were you the rabbi of the shul?
Pardon?
Were you the rabbi?
No, I wasn't the rabbi of the shul. I sat in the shul. God forbid. Shoot me. I don't ever want to be a pulpit rabbi. It's not what I'm looking for. But I have a lot of respect for them, but it's a very tough life. But you choose whether you're going to be in proximity. People speak Lashon Hara. If you're sitting at the dining room table, and a bunch of guys are talking Lashon Hara, and you can't find a way to change the conversation, so get up. Don't do it in such a way that you embarrass them. Like, if they're not going to stop, they're not going to stop. But you don't have to sit there and listen to it. It destroys your soul, right? The culture can leshevi mahem v'lishuma divrehem. Like, if the rabbi is saying that you shouldn't live next door to them, you certainly shouldn't sit down and listen to the Lashon Hara. I've actually met no small number of people who believe, like, they just say, well, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara, I'm just listening to it. Which is worse.
Apparently it's worse for you.
Worse if you listen to
me. If you're like in a community and you're going to some guy's house for Shabbat,
mm-hmm.
and like you're in there during a meal and they're just like speaking lots of Lashon Hara about, let's say, about the rabbi or whatever, then like you're just going to get up and leave
for the bathroom. Okay, go to the bathroom and you come back.
I'll give you the bathroom for it.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I think to be fair, what you're really asking is 50% how do I deal with the situation, 50% how do I give tochacha. So one second. No, one second. Sometimes you have to. One second. So go back, first of all, to our discussion about tocha. So you come into a house, you're invited there for Shabbos lunch. Okay? And we're in two houses next to each other. We're in Boca Raton, or Hollywood, Florida. Okay? Right? You're from Hollywood, right? We're in Hollywood, Florida. And we walk into, it happens to be that we're both invited as guests to two different houses, but they're next door to each other. So you're in this house, and I'm in this house. Right? Okay. So, what would happen? Right? So now, they start speaking Lashon Hara. So what's the biggest difference? The biggest difference is, because I'm whatever, rabbi, blah, 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 so maybe I have the ability to affect the change of the conversation a little more than you did. That could be. Right? Unless, of course, you're sitting with your friends. But if I was sitting at a table and they started talking Lashon Hara, in fact, this actually happened once. I was at somebody's house for lunch, and the rabbi, Ray Brander, got up and gave a sermon, right? And they started ripping apart the sermon. They didn't like something he said. They thought he was wrong, whatever it is. Then they started ripping him apart. So they're in the middle of this discussion. I realize, like, it's a big Lashon Hara fest, and I think that's the worst kind of Lashon Hara. Because you're not only... So I interrupted what one of the guys said. I said, you know, I think there's a big problem in this community. That, like, there aren't serious educators. Like, we need to find more Rebbeim. Right? Because the kids here have no role model. They don't feel they have a Rebbe. Like, if you ask your kids, do you think that they could say that they have a Rebbe? So they looked at me like I was, like, they were trying to figure out what was going on because I just switched the topic, right? So they gave me, like, a quizzical look. So I said, you know why I just switched the topic? I said, think about it. Why do you think you have no real Rebbeim here? Because every time you get a rabbi who gets up, right, who has the potential to be a role model for your children, you take him home to lunch and you shecht him over the lunch table. I said, like, So we got into a great discussion about that. So sometimes you can do that.
I can't do that.
Well, you can do that with your friends sometimes.
Well, I was actually, I remember, a bunch of years ago, I was at a Shabbos lunch and was having my family. There's some really unhealthy things going on in the family.
Yeah.
At the Shabbos table. So my father said, I'm sorry, this is really unhealthy and we're going to leave.
Yeah, but that's totally not.
No, it was
a lot of communities.
Yeah, but, it was made the situation much worse to have us there. It's a hard.
You have to find. It depends who you are. You have to find a balance that allows you to shift the conversation. You can start singing. You can ask the host, you know, can I share a thought of Torah? You can ask a question. You can come in your mind and prepare questions that don't allow you to get to that space. Or you can say, excuse me, where's the bathroom? Like, you know, was said. And just get up and excuse it for 3 minutes. You'll come back. Hopefully the Lashon Hara Fest will be over. Pardon?
Challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
I can take you to three different houses.
I can take you to two houses for 4 hours.
That
I know.
They'll be speaking Lashon Hara. The entire meal. And then they'll finish their meal, and then they'll, like, move over into the other room, and they'll just
continue.
Is where dining
Lashon Hara, a bathroom to Lashon Hara.
It's possible.
Okay.
All we have to do is enter...
Something to think about. You'll notice that the Rambam does not... You'll notice that the Rambam does not give an exact recipe for how to deal with this, because there is no exact recipe. You have to deal with it on a case by case. You have to do your best. You know, sometimes you just try to tune it out. Sometimes you start to sing. Sometimes you can bring a sefer. We're going to get to that in a second. In fact, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says an interesting thing. Well, you know what? Let's finish this halacha, and then we'll get to the Gemara, right? Okay? So lo nechtam. 1 second. Right? Velo nechtam gzar din al avotenu bamidbar ela al hashana al levad. Do you understand? The entire generation, the entire Jewish people, that included Moshe and Aaron, right? That got out of Mitzrayim, incredible things. The entire Jewish people was decreed against them that they would never get to Eretz Yisrael just because of Lashon Hara, because they spoke Lashon Hara, by the way, about earth. They didn't even speak Lashon Hara about people, which is much worse, right? So that's a very serious thing. So the Gemara says, I'll give you one more.
You're
talking about Eretz Yisrael. That's the Sparsha. Could you think of a better week to learn this halacha, right? I find it interesting, by the way. Well, whatever. Okay? So listen to this. This is a Gemara in Erchin. Okay? The Gemara in Erechin Tetvav Tetzayin is a sugya really worth studying. Because many of the issues of Lashon Hara, Tochacha, are all in that sugya. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. So there's some freaky lines here. For example, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kolam Esaper Lashon Hara, Nega'im Ba'im Alav. If you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to get afflicted. Hashem's going to give you trouble. Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Mar Ukva. Kolam Esaper, listen to this line. This is an unbelievable line. Kolam Esaper Lashon Hara, this is Rav Chizda, okay, who's quoting Mar Ukva. Kolam Esaper Lashon Hara, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani Vehu Yecholin Ladur Ba'olam. Do you understand? If someone speaks Lashon Hara, there's no room for him and me in the world together. There's no room for him in this world. Do you understand? That's an unbelievable line. That's a Kosh Baruch Hu. Right? Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. Now it gets interesting. This is an important question. Ma takanato shel mesaper Lashon Hara. So you spoke Lashon Hara. So how can you fix it? How can you do tshuva? How can you do takana? How can you do tikkun? Im talmid chacham hu yasok b'torah. So if he's a talmid chacham, he should learn Torah. Because if you learn enough Torah, it'll fix your Lashon Hara. Right? However, the Gemara continues, right? Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chinin. This is, no, you're making a mistake. Siper in lo takana. If the person already told Lashon Hara, there's no tikkun. You can't fix Lashon Hara that was spoken. Shekvar karto David b'ruach hakodesh shenemar yicharet Hashem kol siftei chalakot. Right? Because David HaMelech himself already gave him kares. Cut your tongue out, whatever the pasuk says. In other words, it's over, it's done. Can't fix Lashon Hara. But, right? He says, more importantly, Ella, ma takanato shelo yavo lidei Lashon Hara. What the Gemara really means here is, how do you fix it so you don't come to speak Lashon Hara? Now that's really your question. You're sitting at a table. People start to talk Lashon Hara. How do you prevent yourself from sitting Lashon Hara? Im talmid chacham hu yasok b'torah. So if he's a talmid chacham, so he should learn Torah. So now imagine that you get to a Shabbos table, and instead of waiting to see if the conversation is going to go there, you start the conversation by taking it somewhere else. Say, you know, I noticed something. Maybe somebody here has a good answer to this question because I couldn't figure it out. Interesting question. You should always have a piece of Torah that you're ready for. Because if you get people into a discussion of Torah, it's harder to speak Lashon Hara. You know? V'im amaretz. But if he's not a Talmud Chacham, if he's a, you know, an ignoramus, yashpil da'ato. This is an amazing line. What do you think that means? Yashpil da'ato. Humble yourself. Now, why do you think if you humble yourself, you're less likely to speak Lashon Hara? Because at the root of Lashon Hara is the assumption that somehow I'm better than him. Look at him. I'm better than him. But if you humble yourself, you realize you're not so much better than him. I don't know, you see some guy and he's smoking. Right? So if you're arrogant, did you see that guy? He's smoking. But if you're humble, you say, you know, what do I know? I could end up smoking tomorrow. What do I know? Right? You see somebody, oversleeps Minyan. So you want to talk about it. He says, you see, the guy didn't even show up to Minyan. Say, pardon? It happens in other issues. That's what I heard. But we don't want to speak Lashon Hara about which issue is, right?
Not necessarily, right?
Right. So if you humble yourself, you say, you know, I'm going to talk about somebody who missed Minyan. Me? Like, how often do I miss Minyan? So then you'll speak less Lashon Hara. That's basically what he says, right? And he goes on, there's one more. no, that's good enough.
I guess I'm not worried about speaking Lashon Hara. I'm more worried about hearing Lashon Hara.
Learn a lot of Torah.
I bet you're sitting at like a lunch table. You're not going to have a chumash sitting like
that. You know what? I think that there's a goal. I think you can become the type of person that people have a harder time speaking Lashon Hara around. I think you can become that person, and I think you can do it. It's hard, but I think you can steer conversations and say nice things in such a way that people recognize you're not comfortable with it without making them feel bad. It's an art. It's not simple. You know, if I thought that people would be offended by me stopping them from speaking Lashon Hara, I probably wouldn't do it, but I would try very hard not to sit and listen to it. Right? And you have to develop it as a habit. You know, it's hard for me to give you perspective because I'm in a different space. I don't remember what I did, to be honest, when I was 17, 18 years old on this topic, because, you know, when I was at your age, I was in a different environment. But,
I mean, I don't know, like, amongst my friends, a lot of times, like, I was kind of a person people like to vent to. So, like, I don't want to...
Well, venting is different.
I don't want to lose that either, you know?
No, but venting is different, because you can ask a person to vent to you, and just ask them not to tell you who he's talking about.
Okay, but a lot of it has to do with my experiences with the, let's say, another person that they're talking about.
Well, if you think you can... No, if you think you can help a person, right? And so at the end of hearing the story, you say, okay, I guess I need to know who it is. And that's why you really should study the halachos of Lashon Hara. So then it could be you're allowed to hear it. It could be, you know, I mean, certainly if you're a Rebbe and you have a Talmud who comes to you, right? And he wants to talk about another Talmud. So I always try to say, you know, don't tell me yet who it is. But sometimes I'll say, you know, I need to know who it is because I can't help you fix it. That happened a number of times this year. You know?
But like if somebody's speaking Lashon Hara and they just don't mention the name. I mean, if the purpose of me listening to Lashon Hara would be so that the person speaking it can feel a sense of, you know, like relieving their, I don't know, you know.
I don't know that they feel that less. Let's say a guy says, you know, there's a guy here, and I don't know, he broke up with his girlfriend, right? And he's giving me a really hard time. So I would say, well, is this guy in this yeshiva? He says, no, he's in another yeshiva. So I said, okay, then I don't need to know who it is, right? So let me give you advice on how to deal with it. Why do I need to know who that is? But let's say a guy tells me the same story, that this guy broke up with his girlfriend, so he's depressed, and now he's making you depressed, let's say. So I say, no, I actually want to know who it is, because maybe I can help him. Nebuch, the guy's depressed. But I'm not asking because I'm curious. I'm not asking because I want to spread the word, this guy's an idiot, he's depressed.
Right, right.
You don't ask for yourself, you don't do for yourself, you do for the other person. Like same
right.
Basis about anger. If you're going to get frustrated when you show anger to someone else, it's even a child. You do it without having the anger inside you. You do it while you're confident. You show
yeah.
Your anger to the child in order to get that child.
Could be. It depends. It's a very specific situation. Listen, imagine that you go someplace. Imagine me. So I go to somebody's house, and we're sitting there, our whole family, and my kids are there. And the hosts are talking Lashon Hara, and my kids are listening to this. So now I got to choose between offending the host or having my kids sit and listen to Lashon Hara. So I'm going to find a way, Bezrat Hashem, to make clear that we have to change the conversation, hopefully without offending the host. But if I offend the host, I offend the host. And if a host gets offended because I'm pointing out, you know, I'm struggling with the topic, maybe we should switch the topic, or let's talk about Mount Pleasant, or let's not talk about this right now if you don't mind, or whatever it might be. So there's a way to do it that you don't embarrass a person, and you smile, and you joke, and say, oh, you know, whatever. You figure it out, you know? But to just let the Lashon Hara Fest continue because you don't want to offend someone, I mean, if you have so little relationship with this person that you can't even make a comment like that, and you're at their Shabbos table, something's wrong. Usually you have enough relationship that you could make some suggestion, let's talk about more pleasant things, you know, hey, how about those Mets? Like, sometimes people get it, you know, whatever it might be. And sometimes they need a little reminder. And sometimes they have to go to the bathroom, but you're never stuck in the situation you're in. Judaism believes there's always a way out of the Holy Rain, always.
And if, are you allowed to put yourself in a situation where people might
have to try to avoid it. Sometimes it's not in your control.
If you're doing something like that, where you're like trying to sway a conversation from Lashon Hara, and you do it successfully, whatever, but in the end, they're like, yeah, he just like didn't want
you. And then you cause more Lashon Hara.
And you know the people, and they're only going to say after you're gone, yeah, well, what if you think he's better than us?
Or even in front of you. Hey, look at Josh.
Look, you can try. You can try to avoid that. Sometimes you can't control it. It depends on the situation. But certainly there is a concept known as yore. Yore is that you don't do things that make you seem arrogant, even if you're not arrogant, right? Because then people will talk about you and it'll lead to Lashon Hara and Gaiva and
so
Kina and whatever.
That would be
but that's very specific.
Lashon Hara from being spoken.
Right, those are very specific situations.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in those situations.
Yeah, yeah? Not pleasant. Absolutely.
What happens if you